Well, believe it or not, the Lord said to open up wherever my bookmark is. Okay? First Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do. When I read that fourth verse, it reminded me that it's all about Jesus. It reminded me when some people come in here and have their own ideas about God. And they want to pick apart the Bible. And they want to go on and on and on. But the Bible's all about Jesus. And there's one word that can describe the whole Bible, is love. And I've learned in life there's a lot of degrees of love. But God's love surpasses all. Our love is too shallow most of the time. And it seems like it takes a catastrophe or something bad to happen to draw us together. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and a good conscience, and faith of unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. In verse 7, desiring to be a teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I think I used to talk to hear myself think, or to hear myself, or I would just talk and talk. And sometimes I still do. But now God is in my heart. And when I do that, it grieves me. It's like I can't do it anymore. I still do, because I'm a perfect example of a sinner. But once you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, that's all I want. And if he's for us, who can be against us? You know, how many times a day do we actually get frustrated and don't give it to God? And then we get more frustrated. And then pretty soon we're grumpy. But it's about living the Jesus way. Not our way. His way. Folks, every one of you that I see in here love Jesus. I know that. And I know that Jesus loves unconditionally every one of you. It's like we have a choice. We can stay where we're at in our comfortable zone. Or like Brother Glenn stepping up this morning. Brother Larry stepping up this morning. Never talked in front of an audience before. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to step out of our comfort zone. Because if you keep on doing the same thing and expecting a change, it's not going to happen. We complain about things. We wish they were different, but yet we're not doing anything to make them different. Verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for a lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, and for the unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and the murderers of mothers, and the manslayers, for the whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to the sound doctrine. I can remember my dad saying to me one day, we were putting this lock on our shed outside. And I couldn't understand why we were putting the lock on, because I could have knocked it off. I mean, it was just hanging there, you know. And I'll never forget what my dad said. It's not to keep a thief out. It's to keep the honest ones honest. And it took me a long time. In fact, quite a long time to understand that. Because I thought a lock was to keep everybody out. But if a thief wants to get in there bad enough, he'll tear the door off. He'll take a hammer or something and he'll get in. But sometimes that's all it takes for us to deter from doing something that we normally wouldn't. And that lock represents God. He's our lock. He's what we need to come to every time that we need to make a decision. And if he's for us, who can be against us? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed Lord, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Folks, everyone sitting here is in the ministry. Every one of us is in the ministry. Every one of us have a purpose. God has put you in a position where you're at for a reason. That's like Sue being on the other side of the state, that she was able to be there for her son. I mean, we could not have planned that, folks. God knew. And God took care of it. But it's because we prayed. The power of prayer is phenomenal, as some of us know for sure. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and a worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and of whom I am chief. It took me a long time to wrap my beady little head around the fact that we're all sinners. When I was growing up, I thought there was a bunch of hypocrites around. And I walked out of my church at 12 years old and called them all a bunch of hypocrites. But what I didn't realize, I was the king hypocrite walking out the door. But I was walking in the light that I had, which was hardly any. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to the should be hereafter believe on him to live everlasting. I don't know about you folks, but God has definitely been long-suffering with me. The same as Pastor Harvey and Pastor Sue. I know I've done things that they probably wanted to strangle me over. But they didn't. A lot of times I did things that I didn't think I should have. They didn't come over and badger me and beat me down. They explained. They came alongside of me, like Jesus. So, folks, it's okay if we make a mistake. We just keep on repeating it till we get it right. And God doesn't, he doesn't expect us to get it the first time, I don't think. Because why would we have all these trials and tribulations in our life? It's not because he doesn't love us. It's because sometimes we have to go through things to understand them. And they're always not pretty. Sometimes they're painful. Sometimes we get desperate and we break down, we cry. But we have somebody to cry to. Abba, Father. Jesus Christ. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. God's our authority. We have things we want. We have things we want to do. But I realized after my heart attack, before my heart attack, I was making relatively good money, could buy things within reason that I wanted or thought I wanted. And then when I had my heart attack and couldn't work, I thought, wow, what's going to happen now? I can't buy this. I can't get that. I can't go there. And it was hard because that's what I was used to. But what I've realized is God gives us everything we need. Everything we need. Would he not feed the sparrow? Would he give his brother a stone to eat? Would we? I mean, down deep you might say, my brother, I'd give him a rock, but you wouldn't really if he was desperate. Because we have, all of us have God inside of us, folks. And a lot of times, and me including, we make it about us, about me. Me, 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 me. And I do that a lot. I do that a lot. But then my accountability partner, my wife, she tells me. And at first I didn't used to like that because I was the man of the house. But what I've learned is she's God's creature too. And who am I? Who am I to be charge? I mean, a man's supposed to be in charge of his house. But there's supposed to be compassion and consideration and love. And there's that word again, love. Love covers a multitude of sins, folks. Love one another. What does that mean to you, Larry? Love one another.
Well, when we show our love one to another, we see that there is this need or that. And that's more than likely the very thing that God is putting on your heart to try to meet that need. It could be as simple as a hug, or as extensive as helping somebody else financially, or going over the house and cleaning, or if somebody's laid up, bringing them a meal. See, those are the tangible things of love. Sometimes it's just the little things. A hug can be just what is the person is needing.
Anybody else? Reuben?
Do unto others as you want done unto you.
Awesome. Do unto others as you want done unto you.
Love unconditionally. Pour that agape love out. Give and don't expect nothing back.
I guess I would say love is giving unto others as God gives to you.
You know that one well, helping hands of Jesus.
It's loving like God loves, you know. He loves us so much that he gave his all. So then we can use that as an example to give our all for each other. putting him before all things.
Without love, we cannot follow Jesus. We need to love.
Tom?
You can't outgive God, but it sure is fun to try.
You can't outgive God, but it sure is fun trying.
The verse I read was 1 Corinthians 13:1-29, I believe it is. Something the Lord's been doing in my heart is Psalm 62:5. And I've been stuck in this psalm probably for a month or two now. My soul, wait thou only upon, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. So we can expect nothing from each other. All our expectations is in Him and from Him and of Him, not of each other.
You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, that is Jesus, say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even publicans the same? And if you salute or act graciously toward your brothers only, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Following on the thought of not having expectations, yesterday we had some snow removal to do, and my expectation was I would go out and teach my son, who does not like to shovel, does not like to do lots of different things. I had expectations about that. Without going into all the details, I had the expectation of just going out, finishing the snow removal, and that would be it, and I would just sort of endure the difficulty of teaching somebody who doesn't like to do this or that, or I had the expectation of it. So, first, I found, as we were going out to do the task I had for him, we found that the plow had come through, and so I had to do the very thick, heavy snow that comes into the driveway. So, okay, I set him started on the task of doing the driveway. And then while that was going on, I decided to use the snowblower to take care of the driveway. As I was doing that, I saw a neighbor trying to get out because the plow had plowed the car in the street. So I used the snowblower to get that going. So then one of the little boys who had a shovel started helping Carson. So I thought, oh, hey, this is going great. So I continued doing the snowblower thing. Then I find there's a woman across the street who's also stuck in the snow. Same reason, different scenario. So, so ended up that that car was stuck. It was a light car, but the heavy part of the car was held up by the snow, and she'd lost her momentum at just the wrong moment, so had no traction on the front wheel drive. So, you know, we get that out of the way. Then the plow comes through again.
Patience.
Well, and then, of course, I'm finding in all this time, Carson's getting cold, or I take the shovel away to help these other people, and so Carson starts playing in the snow, and he gets his hands all wet, and he has to go in and warm up, and all these different difficulties coming. And I got to the point where there was a lot of internal frustration, but I was just trying to keep it calm. And the short version is we ended up getting everything done, helping more people, and Carson did some things spontaneously this morning that I think follow on from what happened yesterday. And so we often have expectations about what we think is going to happen, and they turn out very differently if we just stay the course and do what we know is right.
Like Brother Tom just said, stay on course. And the course is Jesus. I mean, I don't know about you folks, but Jesus is the best thing since peanut butter. And I like peanut butter. But I like him more. He is so amazing. He's always there, whether we turn away or not. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you've answered our prayers for Pastor Sue and Harvey and John. But not just them, Lord. Everybody out there that needs prayer. We just want to lift them up right now, Lord. We're asking you to go to the unlovely. We're asking you to reach down deep, Lord, and just pull them out of where they're at in that pit. And Lord, just show them your smile, or send somebody here forth to do just that today, to put a smile on somebody else's face today, Lord. Or through the week, as we go through our week, as we mumble through our week, let us be considerate of others. Let us step forth your foot, Lord, onto that narrow path. And Lord, I know that you'll give us the words to speak when we need it. You always equip us for what you want us to do. So Lord, I'm asking you to give travel and mercies to everyone here today. Put angels all the way around their cars and around the cars that are next to them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.